You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to tell you, today has been an interesting day. Yesterday I was riding around, I have a convertible, and I had the top down yesterday. I was coming out of my jacket and had boots on. I was trying to shed my clothes. And then today, from 1 minute to the next, the weather has changed. So the talk title actually came up because, one, I love to see what's happening with my time and my world and my day. But do you remember the song by the Doobie Brothers? I wanted to kind of mention that. Thank you, Monica, for that beautiful rendition of Moment to Moment. There's no way I'm playing minute by minute after that. I thought I was going to do that, but it does not fit the beautifulness of what we have in the room. But you know the Doobie Brothers song, right? Minute by Minute, I Keep Holding On. Now, that song came out when I was probably in my life when I was holding on. Remember, I didn't know what this teaching was when I was in my teens. I grew up in a background that was strong and healthy, but it didn't give me things that I could sink my teeth into. There was something more in my heart that I was looking for. So that song really had a true meaning because I was really holding on. Every day mattered, and I wanted to be in it, but I wanted to be more in that minute by minute. So the song has improved in my life, and I have transposed words a little bit different. Now, you know Michael McDonald was a part of the group, right? So he's the voice of Minute by Minute to me. He's an awesome guy. There's lots of music that he has out there now. And what I want us to think about is how life is only in a minute. It's in a second, and accumulates over time. Is why we don't look like the infants that we started out to be. I can remember different moments in my life, and I did bring some props, so I didn't know whether my teachers were going to be here with me, so I may hop down here later and show you some, but these are some moments that I remember in my life. I remember the moment that I gave birth to each of my three children. I remember the moment that I found this teaching. I walked in the back of the Woodruff Art Center, and I heard Kennedy Schultz talking about if you had a greater idea. I remember the moment when I knew my marriage was over. I remember the moment when the doctor said you have to go get an ultrasound because he sees something in your left breast. I remember the moment when I saw a whale tail out of the ocean in Hawaii and Maui because they migrate there. So, do you get my drift? Each moment can have different effects in our lives, and we see it the way we are in that moment. So how do we want our moments to be? I want you to think about a couple of things that I actually put in the newsletter. So I want you to consider what your waking moment's about, because, you know, our sleeping moments kind of cultivate what our waking moments have been. I'm going to ask you these three questions. And as I ponder over my life, I want you to ponder over yours as well. These three things we will cover. Do we look forward to the best in our day, or do we dread the day? Are we doing what matters most in a minute? By the day? By the year? Are we starting our day in gratitude? So let's look at our waking moments. Some of us are in corporate America like me. I wish this was a job that could sustain me, but it's not its way. So IBM is a part of my corporate life. Some of us are pilots. Some of us are lawyers, doctors, entrepreneurs in some way, harpists, musicians, police officers, all kinds of roles that we have out there to sustain us as far as work is concerned. Now, we also have roles that sustain us as individuals. We're mothers, we're fathers, sisters, brothers, community leaders. Some more exotic ones are visionary, pet owner. You know, that's a role. My pet don't have a pet. But those are important things to me. So each of us have these roles that are in our lives. That how do we spend our days in those roles? Are our whole selves there, or do we leave parts of it on the shelf because we think we have to be a certain way with a certain person? I think life is really short, and we consider life based on what our paradigms are. You know, I speak about the seven habits quite a bit, and I want to read this in reference to time. I've read this before, but it's worth repeating. Life is too short. Grudges are a waste of perfect happiness. Laugh when you can, apologize when you should, and let go of what you can't change. Love deeply and forgive quickly. Take chances. Give everything. Have no regrets. Life is too short to be unhappy. You have to take the good with the bad, smile when you're sad, love what you got, and always remember what you had. Always forgive, but never forget. Learn from your mistakes, but never regret. People change and things go wrong, but always remember, life goes on. So we have to figure out how we're remembering our past, how we're experiencing our present, and how we alter our future if we don't like the way it is right now. I remember coming together with this teaching in a moment. I had a moment where I knew life could be greater. I heard this teaching through the teachings of Kennedy Schultz. I consider him as my grandfather. I consider Paul as my father in the spiritual walk, and David as my brother. And I found Franklin Covey first. I don't know whether you know what Franklin Covey is. It was two companies that were really separate in the late 90s. There was Franklin Time Quest, time management, and then the Covey Leadership. Well, I entered IBM and I had taken the seven habits, and you know how you're introduced to something. You know, the first time you get introduced, it sounded pretty good, but maybe you don't apply it. It's like going through school. If you are told that oranges are good for you and they're healthy for you and eat wheat and bread and all of that, that sounds good, but that cake sounds better, or that chocolate sounds so much better. And that's what we go for, right? And then as our body gets a little bit older, then I'm like, I might reach for that food a little more often than I reach for that candy bar. But in the same light, I was introduced to this seven habit stuff, thought it was great stuff, didn't apply a thing. Then I was introduced to Time Quest, and it was telling me where I was spending my time. It actually gave me an opportunity to focus and look, was this time important to me or was I wasting it? Now, how many people really want to waste time? Raise your hand. You're not raising your hand. Well, sometimes. And it's not waste if it's rejuvenating you, if it's lifting you up. How many of us really want to spend our time in important ways? Focus on the right things, right? That's what we want to participate in. So we have to figure out what's important to us in the moment. So the seven habits came along after that, and combined with me looking at my time, then I wanted to be proactive. I wanted to begin with the end in mind. I wanted to put first things first. I wanted to hear you and not tell you what I wanted you to say, right? We don't listen. We tell people what we want them to say or finish their sentence. I became more collaborative in my life because I started to look at what those changes would be. As I thought about the seven habits and these principles, it brought me to a plethora of books, and the books are down there, but not every book is for everybody, but everybody has something that moves them. There's a song that moves you. So I'm looking at how I'm spending my time, and now I'm wondering why it's changing. Well, as I get deeper into the teaching of the science of mind, you've heard us talk about spiritual mind treatment. Everybody heard that term? It's really prayer. It's affirmative prayer. I think no matter what walk of faith we've been in, we've heard that word, right? We're going through a season of Lent. For some of us that grew up in the Christian background, you know exactly what that means. Some of us don't. We have to Google. I grew up in that background. I still had to Google. What does that really mean? So I saw Chick-fil-A had fish on the menu. I guess they want you to eat fish during the time, you know, to eat the rest how you want it to be outside of us. So we have to really know inside what we want. So we're also in the season of nonviolence. Do we know that? It's a period of January 30th to April 4th, where the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi was January 30th of that year, and then April 4th was the assassination of Kennedy. I'm not Kennedy, King, forgive me. So in that window, I discovered peace through prayer. Years ago, I found this teaching in 1999, and about a year or two later, I was introduced to the season of nonviolence. And what I understand is, how would you like to spend your time peacefully? Having inner peace, having inner joy, no matter what is going on out there in the world. The Science of Mind teaches us how to have a peaceful life. I will read this directly from there. We cannot demonstrate our ability to mentally embody an idea. The argument is between our experience, what the world believes, and what we are convinced is the truth. Why don't we convince ourselves that every moment is important to us? Is that a hard place to go in our minds? If we get into the feeling of knowing the truth about our lives, we can not dread the day, but invite the day. It will be the best thing that occurred because we're in it. We don't allow outside circumstances to change us from being the best that we can be in that day. Now, it sounds all nice and easy when we are in a very happy place, but if we're not feeling very well, like some of us who have something going on with our body, or work is giving us challenges, or our relationship is giving us challenges, or we don't have a job, or we don't have a relationship, and we want to be in one. So we may not feel as happy in the moment, so we can forget the most important things about ourselves. But that's when this collective body of people that are in your lives that you trust, that can hold your hand as you get through it minute by minute. I went to services on Friday because I had a girlfriend who, when I was in my married part of my life, our last assignment was Warner Robins, Georgia. Anybody know where Warner Robins is? South of here. I used to come to Atlanta a lot when we were down there because there was not much Warner Robins. But what the families did was get together for cookouts. So a lot of these families, we commune together with our families and our children, and just suddenly, it seems to us, one of the circle of friends died of a heart attack. Wasn't expected, seemed to be fairly healthy. Now in that moment, that wife, who is used to this man being right by her side, who is no longer physically there, she's going to remember that moment. She's not going to be in a great feeling in that moment. She may even be numb. Even though we have had the services, there may still be some numbness of the reality of that setting in when your life has been this way for so long and now it changes. It's only through prayer and faith that we're able to breathe minute by minute, which makes up days. which makes up hours, then days, and then years. So we have to figure out in our lives, do we really have the courage to live minute by minute? Not just hold on, but to set in motion something greater than we are. There's another book I want to read a passage from called The Universe is Calling. If we are still here, there's a reason why we're still here. I know that there's a plane that's missing. A plane missing. There's an IBMer, two IBMers actually that were on that plane. One of them, Philip Wood, this was going to be his last trip to China. Very loving man. I Googled him. Google tells us everything. And found out about his spirit, what he was about. And now that plane is missing. There's so many things that can happen minute by minute in our lives. What do we focus on? Do we focus on something greater? Because we can focus on collectively something greater for that family, all the families that are in that situation. Because what are we? Connected at the God level. We're all individuals. We show up individually with our costumes on and how we present ourselves. But inside, we are all connected. So the universe is calling, has a passage that I want to read. Because we can think about what has happened. We can consider what can happen in the future. But the way that we make now more powerful is this way. Prayer is not something you do to God or say to God or a performance you put on for God. It is in the silence, finding that point in where God is being and being you. You may feel that you have long since let go of the idea of God. But if you are observant, you may realize that you still refer to God by God beside me, God within me, God guiding me, God healing me. So God is still something separate from you. You may talk about getting in the presence, but you can never get out of the presence, for the presence is present. And that's something. That's a mouthful. You never get out of the present. It seems like you may be thinking about the past or thinking about the future, but we're bringing it all into the present moment. So that was a mouthful to read, but it is to say, live in the now. Be grateful in the now. Be grateful for what we have. The more that we have to be grateful for, the more there will be. There's a song that I was listening to this morning. I had this video all set up for you guys, and it was going to have some of the scenes of life out here in the world that we've seen through pictures, and then some of the life moments with this membership, and some of my life moments. And I thought about it, you know what, I'm going to gather more wow moments from everybody here and put up a bigger collage, so the next time we show something that way, or I consider showing it that way, I will have it. But what I do want to share is a song that I played yesterday that I said, you know what, that might be an appropriate snippet to share with the group. And what I'm going to do, after I finish playing the song, I want you to consider just 60 seconds to be in silence, if you got a list that you want to make. I want you to see how that feels to you after listening to the song and what comes up. Okay? Please set this up. Set this up.
What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? What would you do?
now. I am. It doesn't seem like a long time. It didn't go by very quickly. Imagine life that way. You can't take it for granted in any way. Every moment counts. Even if we're sad, that moment counts. That sadness is for a reason. It's to, like in my friend's case, for the loss of that physical presence. Our energy always go on. We're always vibrating. We never leave. We're all circumstances of all that which is before us and all that which is yet to come. But if we could live in the moment as if each day was our last today, I don't think we would get upset at the person that cuts us off in traffic. I think that would be more important or less important. There are commercials out now where people who have smoked, and I don't know that smoking does that to everyone, but it costs them things, and they said if you had to put a list down of the things that you were willing to give up, and it's like your mother, your children, your job, your legs, your eyes, and if you're willing to give that up to do whatever that is taking away from you. Because it doesn't have to be smoking. It could be work. It could be drinking. It could be gambling. It could be just not being there. So it's very important for us to start our days with gratitude, because I think that's probably the easiest practice we can have. The other problem that I have down there is a journal. I actually write in my journal frequently. But the easiest thing, the most portable thing that you can take with you is your gratitude. That can go with you everywhere around the world. And I want to say that as I close with a story. I was working in Manila, as David announced, and I had been to Manila several times before, so I knew what to do in the country. This time, it seemed different to me. A lot of people, a lot more people, I actually Googled, as I said, to see what the population for the Philippines really was, and that just felt overwhelmed by all the people it seemed. There's 98.9 million people in the Philippine Islands, but 50 million of them live in Manila. That's a lot of people in a lot of space. So I was going to feel a little bit different around, and I would put my wallet in the safe, just because I knew from traveling there before, you know, don't take everything with you. Put your wallet in the safe. So I got some sun. I had a little bit of a tan. It faded. You know, I went out to dinner, but I worked too. I was working my U.S. time. You laugh. I did. I worked more than usual because the vibe of the people, it was just so many people. But I was at the play a little bit. So I did get to the beach, and I went shopping just before I was going to leave. I've gone on a tour while I was there to see old and new Manila. I saw the U.S. Embassy, all that good stuff. And the tour, I thought, was going to be charged to my room, because I have my corporate card, and all the bills are charged as far as the room is concerned, if you need a car, those kinds of things. But any fun stuff comes out of Angela's budget. So I went to get my wallet out of the safe to pay for Angela's fund. And instead of putting my wallet back in the safe, I took a little shot. So from one moment to the next, it was in the safe. Next moment, it was out of the safe. So now I'm gallivanting all over the Mall of Asia, one of the biggest malls in the world. I think it's number 5 or number 6, somewhere up there in the top 10. Let's put it there. I'm having a really great day. I'm eating. I stand out a little, you think? Just a little. But I'm having a really good time. I'm meeting people from all over the world. And so I eat. I have kimchi. Anybody know what kimchi is? And bulgogi. They have this restaurant called Kimchi. I'm like, having no pain. It's great. I'm at the end of my day. I've got presents for everybody, birthday, grandchildren, and I see these shoes. I was going to wear these shoes today, but it was raining. So I see these shoes and I stop for these shoes. And as I'm shopping, I've got my purse very close to me and I decide on these pair of shoes. 1 minute, my wallet is there. The next minute, when I get to go back to the shoes, right? Some of that was in the video. I was going to show you before and after. But afterwards, as amazing as the shock was of the initial, first my wallet was there, and then it wasn't. What do you think the first place I went to, and I don't know if I could have ever done it without this teaching, where do you think I went? Gratitude. It could have been worse. I do stand out. I could have been mugged, assaulted. There were women that had been kidnapped. I mean, they carry guns and dogs and Uzis around in the Philippines. It's not like the United States. So the first thing I went to was gratitude because it could have been worse. Guess what else could have been gone? And I wouldn't probably be home yet. My passport. My passport was not in there. My cell phone was not in there. So instead of me getting in stuff of all the things I'm still replacing, I got in gratitude because it could have been. And what lesson did I learn? Put your wallet back in the safe, Angela. Listen to your gut feelings. Listen to yourself. How many times have we ignored ourselves? You think I'm going to ignore me anytime soon? No time soon. If I'm telling me something, I better listen. Because I told me to put that wallet back. And did I put that wallet back? And I'm still cleaning up the mess. But it was cleanable. I could do it. The next thing you know, I got a ride back to, well, I reported, of course. And let me tell you what the gratitude did. And we'll wrap this up. I filled out a report, and I think I was numb in the moment. I wasn't sure how I was going to get back to my room because my wallet was stolen. You know what's in your wallet? There's a bunch in your wallet. Your cash is in your wallet, too, so I didn't even have the money to get back to the hotel. So the cops said they would take me. So I said, I went back to the hotel. I reported all the cars stolen. So, of course, my credit card is on the line at the hotel because all of those cars have to be canceled. But you know, credit cards always take this big chunk of money out anyway, so they were covered. I got an advance from them. I got Western Union sent me money out of my own account the very next day at no charge. I never heard of Western Union send me money at no charge. Got that. Got a credit card, and all the credit cards in the mail, so I had cash on me. I decided I wanted to check out the store surveillance tape where this happened. The person was really good. My purse was sitting right by me. I thought I had got up and tried on the shoes. You know, you got to look in the mirror. So I thought maybe I was careless in that moment. My purse was right beside me. Now, if this had happened in Nordstrom here at Phipps Plaza, this next episode I'm going to tell you about would never happen, I don't think. The store gave me 10% off on those shoes that I wanted. 25% off on something else that they saw me looking at, if you can see the footage, and free other. Now, I'm not sure too many stores in the U.S. would do that, right? Out of that surveillance tape that I saw, the guy who escorted me to where you filed a police report, he said, Ms. Carmen, anytime you are in Manila, I am your bodyguard. You call me, and anywhere you want to go, I am going with you free of charge. Now, you think I'm going to be free of charge? I can't pay him enough to escort me around the city. After that, I automatically had an escort everywhere I go. Nothing that I even asked for. The taxi driver said, Ms. Harmon, we're going to stay with you. Now, they didn't know nothing about the incident, but I think shifting myself into gratitude set up the rest of that trip to be meaningful, pleasant, and I could still get home. If we get in a practice of gratitude, just saying thank you for waking up in the morning, thank you for somebody opening the door for you, thank you for being able to breathe and walk and see and eat on our own, everything else is going to be a magnificent moment. So as we allow these signs of mind principles to embed in our lives and embody our lives, this is the last thing I want you to have on your mind. It's never too late. Consider a spiritual practice if you don't have one. You may get off course. It's easy to get back on course. Just know what's important to you and know what your inner compass is. Never lose our childhood enthusiasm. I hear the voice of a little one in the audience to remind us we all have that in us. Create imagination in your life and everything will radiate. The sun shines, embracing the rain. You will summon wild moments one by one, minute by minute.
As our symphony is orchestrated, as we are